Welcome to the Immigrant Entrepreneurs Podcast, episode 83. My name is Alina Warwick, and hey guys, real quick, before we continue with the show, I wanted to let you know that in the first 9 months of my podcast, I launched 81 episodes. I've spent hours researching on what tools to use and had quite an amazing journey ironing out the industry standards and what works best to launch and run a successful podcast. I've developed a proven system that allows me to book guest calls on my show consistently and to have a very seamless launching strategy. As you know, many thought leaders today have amazing podcasts and they use it to grow their tribe, their brand, and to bring awareness to their particular topics. So if you are thinking of starting a podcast, now is the time. I'm providing podcast consultations where I will give you all my tools and industry standards on how to launch and run a successful podcast. So check out my website, alinawarwick.com, and book your podcast consultation today. So let's get to the show. Today, we have Ali Payani on the show.
It all started when I wanted to kind of create my own company and a startup in Dubai. And unfortunately, because of being Iranian and political conflicts they had with Iran, they wouldn't allow any Iranians to open a company.
Ali was pretty entrepreneurial at a very young age. At about 13 years old, he started to freelance by doing some basic website design when he was back home in Iran. While Ali was in Dubai, he was studying a master's degree in information technology management, and he wanted to create his own startup. But because he was Iranian, the Dubai government did not allow him to create his own company because of political reasons. So he took his business idea to Silicon Valley and wanted to see if it will work out. His ultimate mission was to come to the States and start his startup, which was developing a prototype in the air quality industry. But a year later, he had to pivot and start something completely brand new. Ali and his business partner launched Lookin LA, which is a leading full-service digital marketing agency based in Los Angeles, offering a wide range of online marketing solutions. So here's Ali and Ventura, California. Year one in the United States and doing door-to-door sales on Ventura Boulevard, asking businesses if they wanted any of his marketing services. Ali was just on a fire to get his business up and running, and it did not matter how hot it was in LA County. He was out there hustling. Lookin LA has now grown so much. They now provide services in social media marketing, SEO, video marketing, web development, Amazon marketing, branding, and so much more. Lookin LA is now one of the best marketing agencies in the United States. So let's dive right in and hear all about his journey. All right, Ali, thank you so much for coming on the Immigrant Entrepreneurs Podcast. I really appreciate your time, and I'm super excited to hear all about your journey. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So let's talk about your immigrant journey. Tell us where you're from and when did you come to the United States?
Sure. Well, I'm originally Iranian, and I came to U.S. about 5 years ago. And actually, I came from Dubai, so I was living in Dubai for about like 11 years. And then I just moved here 5 years ago.
Oh, wow. And your English is so good. So how did that happen?
Well, living in Dubai for 11 years, I was studying there, Australian University and University of Wollongong, and also grade 11 and 12 in an American-based high school, a lot of like English, and also working there.
Oh, got it. Okay. So I'm assuming you grew up in Iran and then you moved to Dubai for college?
Right. For high school, actually.
For high school?
Yeah, since grade 11 and 12. And then my bachelor, I was 16 or 15 when I moved to Dubai.
So tell me, what was it like growing up in Iran?
Well, it was really fun. I mean, I don't have a lot of memories back there, but just most of my family were there. So that was fun. But growing up mainly, mostly I would say in Dubai, that I have more memories there. And it was a lot of fun too.
So how long were you in Iran and then you moved to Dubai? Was it when you were a little kid?
I was moved to Dubai when I was 15.
Okay. So up until 15, you were in Iran, right?
Right.
Okay. And so what was that like in Iran? Was it safe? Was it secure? Was it pretty populated? What was that like?
Well, I think all of them, but it's pretty was good. And actually, I was starting working kind of like my first company maybe was when I was 13 or 14. I was doing like a logo design, business card design, and some like basic website design back then when I was 13 years old, like, I think. And I could get some clients basically because like a friend of friends, you know, to they wanted to have like some designs for their business. So that's where maybe everything started.
And how did you get into that at 13, 14 years old?
Well, I remember I went to get a certificate in web development and computer programming using Visual Basics. And I remember the web development was Microsoft Front Page and HTML coding back then. So lots of like today's platform wasn't existing. Mm-hmm. So I remember I went to get that certificate. My father actually signed me up to get it. And then after I got the certification there, I wanted to buy a Canon scanner, as I remember. And my dad was like, now you have the skill, so you can use it. So that's everything started.
Did you grow that into something bigger, or are you kind of just doing freelancing as a teenager?
Yeah, just the freelancing, because when I moved to Dubai, I was really interested in computer science and more into the programming and security. So that's what I studied and for my bachelor.
So how did you move to Dubai? Did you move by yourself or was it with your family?
By myself, actually. My dad had a company there, but he was just visiting Dubai. And then my parents were visiting me, or I was visiting them in Iran. But mainly I was there some time of the year with my dad.
Oh, okay. And so he kind of just got you situated. Who did you live with?
By myself. I mean, like, my parents was visiting, they would stay with me.
At 15 years old?
Yeah, but I remember, I mean, like, mainly the first years, my father was mainly was staying in Dubai most of the time. And then maybe I was 18 and 19 when he was, like, moving more to Iran, staying there, and maybe, like, staying in Dubai for, like, 2-3 months with my mother would came, you know, they would stay like all together, like maybe for 2-3 months.
And why Dubai? Why not any other country? What was that move all about?
Well, I had a friend back in Dubai that he told me about the high school and also the university where it was offering for the first time a security programming bachelor degree. So that's why I was like planning to go there to study the security program.
Got it. Okay. And you were not afraid to do that all by yourself in a brand new country?
Not really. I wasn't thinking about that.
Good. I love that spirit.
Yeah.
Okay. And growing up, what kinds of jobs did your parents have?
My dad is an entrepreneur too. He's always a business owner, mainly in importing and exporting like trades for medical equipment. And my dad and my mom wasn't actually working at that.
You said your mom was not working?
No.
Got it. Okay. And so you graduated from college in Dubai. Did you apply to go to United States, or what was that journey like for you coming to United States?
It all started when I wanted to kind of create my own company and a startup in Dubai. And unfortunately, because of being Iranian and political conflicts they had with Iran, they wouldn't allow any Iranians to open a company. And
why is that
was just the political conflicts they had. There was no reason, basically, that was applied to all the Iranians and some of the other nationalities as well. And I tried for 2 years while I was studying my master's degree in management, IT management, to try to open my company, and that I wanted to focus on programming. So I wanted to open a software development company. And they wouldn't allow me, so I waited till I finished my master's degree. At the time, I was working on a device, an air quality variable device based on AI and machine learning that would help people with asthma. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I came to United States and I actually attended some of the conferences here, one in Uber conference in San Francisco. And I met a lot of like entrepreneurs and investors there, and I discussed them the idea that I had for the other startup. And then that's how I actually stayed here, and I got a visa to develop that product.
And what kind of visa did you get?
O-1 visa. That's the extraordinary ability visa.
Oh, got it. Okay. And what are the visa limitations for that, the extraordinary visa? Did you get a year and you have to renew it every year?
Oh, it was initially for 3 years, non-immigrant, but I also applied to get a job, like a full-time job. And based on that, I could get a green card so I could stay more and focus on the startup as well.
So you came out to Silicon Valley to initially just come to that conference, or did you move?
Kind of to visit the people here, you know, and see okay. like, because I knew about the O1 visa, but I was not certain that I'm going to move. But I knew that I'm coming to just open my startup, you know, because I could even like establish my company here. That advice I got from people there helped me to establish the company as well as moving forward with my immigration status.
And so how old were you when you moved out to the United States?
26.
26 years old.
Yeah.
Okay. And so you moved out here and did you launch your company right away?
Yeah. So I just launched the company and then I started working on developing that product, like the prototype of the variable. And after a few months, I could even develop that device, which is still I have it. And then also applied for a job to get a full-time job so I can have like salary and revenue stream here. And then in the side, I also asked a friend of mine from Dubai that I have an idea to have a company or a service base for a marketing development and a strategy. That's what we call it, Luke in LA. And he was also moving to United States, and we actually co-founded Luke in LA together after that. That's like a year after.
So we'll go back to that journey, but I wanted to ask you, what are some struggles that you had to go through when you first immigrated?
So a lot of like struggles, mainly didn't have any salary or even like money here. So I bring all my savings here, to get the basics. And then after that, it was kind of like just struggling, you know, for the establishing the company, developing the variable device. And then also I had to think of the having like the salary some sort and any like money to generate. And I started also going like door to door in Los Angeles, asking for the projects from the websites to any that I could get.
Door to door where?
Actually, me and my co-founder used to walk in Ventura Boulevard, maybe from people in LA know that from Studio City to maybe a long way to the Woodland Hills, you know, to just walk and ask businesses if they looking for a like website development or any kind of like a marketing service that we could provide. So that's how actually everything started. So for maybe 2 or 3 months, we were just walking around and asking businesses. And we printed like flyers. And then we are looking those now. It's kind of like funny, but it works.
Oh my goodness. Wow. So there is definitely something so powerful in door-to-door sales or door-to-door research or door-to-door, anything related to door-to-door. There's something about a hustle and drive. And I know LA can be so, so hot in the summer. So I don't know at what time you were doing this, but
it was summer.
It was summer. Okay, so yeah, you were burning up. I know for sure. So there's something just so powerful to have that drive to do something like door-to-door, and especially as an immigrant. What drove you to that?
Well, I think for 3 years, 2 to 3 years, I wanted to open my company and they wouldn't allow me to do it.
Mm-hmm. And then in Dubai.
Right. And then since I came here, I saw that there's opportunity to do that. So I had all the reasons, you know, to go after and creating a successful business. And also another thing was generating income. So I didn't have any income at the time. So I had to, basically for surviving, I had to make sure that I get the projects.
And did you get clients sign up?
After 2 or 3 months, like just walking around, we got a website project for $800. And then the same client, that was our first project, basically, I would say, for Luke in LA. And then the same client referred us to her brother, who was opening a new company and selling kitchen accessories. So they wanted to have like the website, kind of like they needed help more into the brochures, business plans, and the full kind of marketing service so we could actually provide that. that was a big deal that we got. And that happened basically after 3 months of going door to door.
So any other struggles you can think of in LA going around door to door? Your English is pretty good. How did you get situated and accustomed to the culture?
Well, it was hard. I mean, going to the businesses, just open the door and asking them for the marketing projects. And I think they didn't even expect that. And also another struggle was to not know kind of like culture or in terms of like for the sales, mm-hmm. you know, point of view or from the sales perspective, that how do you want to pitch an idea to businesses in different industries? So imagine like in the street, you could see all different like businesses. There. So yeah, even the sales pitch should be different. So that was another thing. The other struggle, maybe just moving here, you know, finding the home to rent. Again, the income was a very big issue for me the first days.
And how did you get like housing and a car? Did someone help you out? Were you here all by yourself or did you have any family or friends?
We had a friend that really helped us to find a home to rent, and it was okay. A condo in the valley in LA that we rented out. And then actually my aunt is here, so she also helped me to find a dealer, you know, to buy a car. So I just with my saving I went to car dealership and just got a secondhand car.
Okay, so let's jump back into your journey to look in LA. Mm-hmm. So you were working on the prototype and then somehow you wanted to switch over and do this digital marketing, developing websites. What was that transition like for you?
So while I was working to develop the air quality device, that was under another startup named Fortment.
Okay.
And that I wanted to focus on the AI for health. And so that requires a lot of like funding, fundraising, so different process. Again, to have income, I had to do also service-based projects. So that's how Look in LA actually formed. And starting going all that journey of going door to door. And first we started to asking businesses to advertise through our website. So we could accept the companies and then having advertised for them on our website, kind of like a business listing. And I have a kind of a rule in business that you should test out the strategy for 3 months and then see what measurable results you can get. If it's really good, convincing, you can just go ahead and improve that strategy. If it's not, you have to change it. In 3 months, we kind of got more 2 or 3 clients with a really small package that they designed. And I saw it's not work. So we changed the kind of business plan to have more kind of providing marketing services in terms of like accepting businesses to do their marketing on the website. So providing more marketing services like building a website and doing social media marketing and Google advertising. And that's how we actually changed the business model. And then again, it's pivoted and changed and improved over time to what we have now, which is a full service marketing agency.
Got it. Okay. And so tell me a little bit more about Look in LA. I see you guys are doing all kinds of things, social media mm-hmm. marketing, SEO, email marketing, Amazon marketing. You guys are doing a whole host of things. So tell me a little bit more about what you guys provide.
We are a full service agency, as you said. I mean, we're providing all the B2C marketing and B2B marketing, as well as developing the marketing strategy and planning for the companies. That might be for the new startup, that would be maybe for an enterprise, introducing a new product launch. So we develop that marketing strategy for them that include all gap analysis, competitive analysis, market research, industry insights, going to all the marketing channels and content strategy. And when it comes to the execution, of course, we can either train their team to do it, or just hand them the strategy or execute the full service of the marketing ourselves.
How did you develop all of your marketing skills? Because you went to school for computer science, right? It wasn't really marketing. How did you learn through different books, or how did you develop that niche?
Yeah, I had no idea about marketing, to be honest.
I love it.
You know, that's like 5-4 years ago. And everything I knew was just developing a website, but not the marketing, not the strategy, not the platform. We work a lot, you know, I think maybe 14 hours a day to also learn and execute, both me and my co-founder. And we used to sit in Starbucks just with our laptops, and I just got some online courses in marketing that was explaining some of the platforms like Google AdWords or like some email marketing tools or SEO. But we learn a lot and read a lot of like articles, watching a lot of like lectures on YouTube to learn all those. And I think one of the main reasons that we got successful and now becoming one of the best agencies in the US is me and my co-founder both be learn everything ourselves first. Mm-hmm. So we had to learn all the email marketing, CRMs, social media, Google Ads, and all the marketing channels. And we had to be able to do the right marketing strategy to implement the marketing strategy for ourselves. Then we learned a lot of stuff down the road so we could also provide that service for a client.
YouTube, I love it. And it's so exciting for me to hear these stories because a lot of immigrants are saying, well, I need to get an education first, or I need to get a couple years of experience. And you may for different types of scenarios, but just like you went out there, got yourself courses and got yourself plugged into conferences, YouTube, and I don't know if you read books. Did you read books?
Yeah.
Yeah, books. So there's a lot of wealth of information here in America that we can get a hand of and get re-educated and reinvested in. So that's absolutely amazing to hear that you were able to do that. So where did you find your co-founder?
We were friends back in Dubai for maybe like 10, 15 years now. So that's how we knew each other. So it was very easy to work together. So mainly it's kind of like a risk or hard for friends to also work together, but you're lucky that you're really good all the work relationship together, even like when it's, you know, up and downs, when we have like bad days or struggles, so we could pass it and find a solution to just move forward.
Mm-hmm. And in the beginning, did you guys have to get an office space, or did you guys just work out of your condo and did the door-to-door sales?
Yeah, door-to-door sales, we were like in the condo. And after that, when we got that first project, we were sitting at the Starbucks just with our laptops, again, learning and also looking for clients and working on the client's project. Yeah. And then after that, we got the common area space in Bjork. And then after that, we got the private office and then the bigger private office, and now bigger than that private office.
And so how old were you when you started looking in LA?
I think 27, I would say, maybe a year after I moved here.
Wow, amazing. Awesome. And so did you have to raise any capital to start that business?
I wish, but no, we didn't. So
all bootstrapped.
Yeah. Again, like we had zero income. Mm-hmm. And probably like maybe $0 at bank too. We couldn't even raise fund for the marketing agency. So it was really against the odds, you know, to have a marketing agency in Los Angeles when you just moved here, while there are thousands of marketing agencies in LA that a lot of them are getting maybe out of business in like 1 year or 2 years, or those companies were established for maybe 10 years was also not really successful in terms of margins, you know, and then their client retentions. But so we couldn't, there was no way, I would say, to raise funds. And even if we would, it would take a lot of months to do that. And I needed to start generating income and getting leads. So I wasn't thinking of even raise funds or capital for the company, or even like there was no more savings to use. That's why the door-to-door started.
So what sets your company apart amongst all the other competitors?
So one of the main, actually, I would say, factor would be developing the strategy first and then start executing. Second would be we are very fast in execution and finding the problem. office. So I would say this is when it's very important, not only for marketing, but the business itself, to know how you are adapting to change, or if you're finding something that is not working, how fast can you find out that it's not working, and also how fast you can execute a solution. And that was maybe a second factor that our clients love us. And then third is the communication with our clients. So we kind of become friends with all the clients we have. And I would say we are one of the only agencies that we haven't lost a client for a year and a half.
Wow.
Maybe in US. And it's really, really tough for a marketing agency to not lose a client, because not maybe only companies become successful. Again, strategy, how fast we execute, and communication. And also I would say for the last factor would be, I say a lot of no to clients, or even in the meetings or the strategy meetings, mm-hmm. versus the many other kind of agencies or marketers. They just say yes to their client to make them maybe happy, or they don't want to explain. What I'm always saying is, you have to, if something is not going to work and you know it, you have to say no, but you also have to have the solution to offer. Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to ask you, with all your marketing, do you have any advice to new companies that are starting up? What kinds of tips that you can give them to launch their website, or maybe to do social media? What are some things that are working these days?
Well, it's really getting tough, especially like post-pandemic, I would say. And marketing is different, so they have to really understand their industry and the behavior of their customers. And
wait, why is it getting tough post-pandemic? What
changed? Well, it changed a lot in the pandemic, and now it's changing more post-pandemic. So some of the services, like, for example, customer loyalty programs, wasn't really famous before. It was good. But now we have up to 35% of the marketers and companies invest more in the loyalty programs to keep their customers. So a lot of even the platforms change, the behavior changed. So during the pandemic, the sales for e-commerce went up. Now post-pandemic is actually reduced. So they're also working more into the customer retention and keeping their customers base. And same for the B2B, a lot of changes in the behavior of the people post-pandemic, like the way that you were generating leads. So people now, they don't want to really go to the seminars or exhibitions or events. So they find the right B2B company online. And because of now that most millennials are taking the businesses control and becoming decision makers, now us millennials, we tend to have like that online buying. So we have a B2B commerce that's going to be really trending instead of like talking to the physical people in the events, or talking to the salespeople. Mm-hmm. So these are the changes that happen. So if you are anyone who is opening a new company, if you're a B2B or B2C, you have to know the trends, the updates. When it comes to the marketing strategy, you have to make sure that you have the right strategy and listen to the strategy marketers. So one of the big mistakes I see is that business owners try to learn marketing and try to develop their own strategy, while they should focus on their business strategy, not marketing, but they have to be align actually with the marketing department and growing their company.
Okay, and you're talking about business strategy as far as customers and the business day-to-day success rates, right? You're talking about that kind of strategy.
Yeah, they have to have, like, if you refer to 9 important elements of the business model, like Canvas, like partner, strategic partnership, your customers' relations, or your revenue stream, your business model, or your product quality. And all that is something that the business should focus and leave the marketing to the marketers. Also expect them to have like good answers or solutions when needed.
Yeah, got it. Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that. And what's working for you guys? Are you guys doing Facebook ads, Google ads, any social media ads?
For Look in LA?
Yes.
Yeah, we do. We are actually, since we are B2B, so we have a lot of LinkedIn advertisement. We develop really good ebooks and blogs. We have tons of traffic to our website because of our blogs and users downloading and visitors downloading our ebook. And also social media. We also have monthly webinars. So okay. last month, we had a great webinar with Neiman Marcus, Hologram, and PeopleG2 discussing the content and developing a culture for the companies. And next month also, we have a great webinar with Nismi to discussing the B2B content and sales strategy.
Wow, amazing. So content, I'm hearing that that's free. You can release blogs and videos all day long.
Right.
So webinars and other things that you guys are doing are still fairly inexpensive, except for like the LinkedIn ads that you mentioned. But it's amazing to hear that those things are still working, right? That's still generating the SEO in the background and still even the eBooks, right? People are probably Googling stuff. They're coming to your website and they're getting to know you and you're producing an immense amount of value.
Right. I think if you develop the right content for the right people with a really high quality, it will be really a successful strategy. And it's a must kind of for every company to even increase the amount of their content developed.
I love it. So what about mentors? Did you have any mentors that helped you out to start your business?
Yeah, when I just moved here, I also joined the Consumer Technology Association for my hardware idea and startup. And I had a mentor back then discussing the hardware startup and then kind of transitioned to all the discussion about looking in LA. So now we're kind of a friend and we talk to each other maybe a month. And also I'm a member of some roundtables that we have other CEOs that we discuss the ideas or the problems or even the future together. But I started with my mentor 4 years ago.
Okay. And do you think that was important in your entrepreneurship journey?
Definitely. Yeah, I think it doesn't really matter how successful you are or how deep you are in the business. You have to have mentors and you get a lot of like help along the way with maybe your ideas. Sometimes you maybe even actually have a different opinion than your mentor, mm-hmm. but it's fine. I mean, like it happened for me with me too. Sometimes I was like against his idea, sometimes he was against my idea, and then we were just like developing something, and then again like sharing those results, you know, discussing it, and then again finding a better solution together. So that mentor would help a lot if he or she is the right person, you know, in your mm-hmm. area.
And I hear that a lot where people say that it will take faster to get to success with mentors by your side, whereas if we're doing it all by ourselves, right?
Right. And they have to make sure that find the right mentor and then also listen to most of the thing that you discuss. You know, if you are just talking to someone to be always opposed to, so that's not going to work. Again, you might be opposed to that idea. Their idea sometime, time to time, but the whole idea is to listen, share and listen, and then get more experience.
So who are your major clients? Any industries that you can share with us?
So we're working with many companies in different industries. We have PeopleG2, it's one of the leading background check software companies. We have California Lightworks, one of the leader in grow lights. We work with more enterprise. We develop like a strategy or video production for Coherent or SpinLister, Storybikes, and Rocket. So a lot of like companies from different industries. That's actually one of the benefits of actually working.
Let's switch gears and talk about mistakes and failures. And I always love asking these questions because there's a lot of times during our entrepreneurship journey where we encounter the mistakes that we make sometimes on a regular basis. But what are some tips you can give our listeners on how you've encountered those mistakes and what are some things that you changed to implement new changes in your entrepreneurship journey?
Talking about the marketing, again, it's really a lot of the testing and A-B testing, trial and errors involved. And in the beginning, one of the things that was very important, it was how we are pitching our services to the prospects. Okay. And one of the changes I made was introducing that marketing strategy to the prospect. Because when you call most of the marketing agencies, after you're just telling them maybe what you're looking for or what your business is, they right away, they're going to give you a proposal of the services listed that you're going to develop or execute based on your budget. So uh-huh. what I changed here, which was a risk, was telling the prospect that now we need to do the marketing strategy. Maybe this service that you're looking for is not right for you. So it was a risk, but that failed in somehow. Like some of the prospect was like, that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for example, SEO. And then another company quote me on that and gave me a proposal, so I go with that. So they couldn't understand maybe the importance of like having the strategy. Mm-hmm. But I was quite sure that that's the right way to do it. But a mistake would be a way that you're pitching it. Maybe you can't show the value or the right, you know, kind of like demonstrate the right roadmap to the prospect so they would really understand. So that's what I was working in for a while. And I would say like it still is getting more improved every time, you know, the whole strategy, the planning, and also the sales pitch. So that was one of the actually risks and also maybe mistakes in proposal. So I think for every company, the proposal would something that you're going to do a lot of mistakes creating it until you get it improved and improved. So that's something that you should be continuously work on to improve.
Right. And I have heard in the past where, you know, social media marketing or like Instagram marketing is not one size fits all, because there's so many companies out there that don't even have a Facebook page, but they're making millions, or they don't have, you know, an Instagram page, or maybe have like 50 followers, but they're still rocking it and still making, you know, successes on their own way. So you're totally right, because a lot of times businesses can come in and say, well, I think I need SEO because someone told me I need SEO.
Right. Yeah.
All right. So what does the American dream mean to you?
I really moved here to establish the best and biggest company, or maybe companies, as my future plans. And I think that's happening. I mean, what they say, like it's in the US, you know, if you hard work, you can make it. I think it's true. I mean, maybe I'm a living proof of that. So
yeah.
So that's the American dream. I would say that no matter what your background is, it's important maybe what your passion is. So you can make, you know, you can make a company that you want, whether it's in marketing, whether it's AI, so you can make that change. So that's, I think, more relates to American dream, that you can make that change. And maybe in many other countries, you can have that impact with your company, or you cannot even make changes.
And especially the fact where when you said that you were in Dubai and they did not allow any Iranians to start businesses,
right.
That has just shown proof that everyone in America, regardless of where you come from, you can open up a business.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's one of the reasons that maybe many immigrants get successful here with the tech business or any other type of business, is that we know what are the struggles, you know, in maybe our hometown, to not even be able to open a company. Or maybe I would say like in Iran, you don't have that route to grow a company. So maybe you see like more opportunities when you move to the United States.
Yeah. Absolutely. So what are some things that you would advise the next aspiring immigrant that wants to start their own business?
What they should do? I mean, like,
yes. Like what are some tips you can give them?
I would say that they should, again, to have like the strategy, but also try to have a mentor, as you pointed out. Okay. Also make sure that they get their financials right. I think one of the main reasons that the startups and companies get failed is the financials. For any immigrant entrepreneurs, I think building, creating a network is important, to have like more networks of the leaders, you know, to also read more books of maybe the history of the other entrepreneurs, whether it's the immigrant or not, and also make sure that they get everything right in terms of their business strategy and marketing strategy.
Awesome. Well, Ali, thank you so, so much for coming on the Immigrant Entrepreneurs Podcast. I truly appreciate your time.
Thank you.
I'm so excited to see your journey coming all the way from Dubai to LA, starting something completely brand new and making success out of it. So thank you so much for your inspirational story. And I wish you all the best of successes and maybe more future businesses, like you said.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you. And it was really nice talking to you.
Alrighty, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. If there are any links that were mentioned in this episode, make sure to check them out on my website under this episode to find all the links conveniently located in the show notes. I just wanted to ask for a quick favor. If you could please leave a review wherever you're at listening to this podcast. Also, if you're an immigrant entrepreneur and would love to be on my podcast, please email me and we'll get connected. I'll see you guys all next time for another exciting and impactful episode. Take care.